You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Surprisingly, we're not watching a lot of bad movies during this Oscar run. I'll tell you that.
I agree. Welcome, everyone, to Movie Sucktastic. I'm Scott, that's Joey, and this week we're reviewing Conclave. Which is up for 8 Oscars this year.
Yeah. Do we want to just blow through those real quick or do it in a little bit? How do you want to do it?
Run down them real quick. Just list them out.
Let's do that. All right, so there's 8. Obviously, Best Picture, is one of the nominees.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Original Score, which, by the way, is phenomenal. One of the things that I can applaud this movie for is if the score isn't as good as it is, this is still a good film, but I think the score really helps the movie. It really moves the movie along. It really does. Kind of like last year when we were reviewing Killers of the Flower Moon, where we were talking about the score really helping the film move scenes along when not like a lot of things were happening, but the score kind of helped the scene. It's like, yeah, there's not a lot going on here, but that music in the background, it just kind of helps move it. The score for this movie does the same thing.
That's interesting, because you talking about it reminded me that there was music to this film.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't really have any impact on me whatsoever. So, no, but kidding. I take you at your word. I don't have an ear for music like you do.
I thought the score was amazing. This is a PG-rated film, and this is an R-rated score, because this is the type of score that you would see in a film that is definitely more dramatic, definitely has more suspense type elements to it, but it just the score is fantastic. So best score, best picture. Best actor, Ralph Fiennes. Best supporting actress, Isabella Rossellini. As I mentioned in the last episode, why?
Yeah.
Sorry, Isabella.
Fair enough.
You know, you were great in Blue Velvet, but why? Best adapted screenplay, best film editing, best production design, and best costume design. So those are the 8 nominees. And I could see why it's nominated in all of them, except for Best Supporting Actress.
So, disclaimer.
Yeah.
I'm not the audience for this film. Being an atheist. I don't believe in religion as to begin with, and I have no love for the Catholic Church as an institution. So this film has no general appeal to me going in.
So as somebody that was raised Catholic, went to Sunday school, went to church on Sundays, communion, confirmation, like the whole 9, you know, I watched this film with those eyes, and I can appreciate what this film achieves, not tries to achieve, but actually achieves. So, but as you know, as I've gotten older, I've kind of moved away from that. But growing up with that,
sure,
I wouldn't say this film is I'm the audience for it, but I kind of am.
You have an emotional attachment to the subject matter.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Yeah.
I read that a lot of the details in the film are very accurate to what actually happens when a Pope dies.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of details on stuff I had no idea about, but must have been very interesting for people who, you know, care. And the film presents it all very straightforward.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting for even for someone who doesn't care. I was interested in what they were showing.
Yeah, no, and what I find fascinating about this film is...
Mm-hmm. Good word.
Yeah, what I find thank you. What I find fascinating about this film is this film could have gone off the rails and went in a completely different direction for the type of movie that it could have been. And I'm glad that it didn't do that. I'm glad that it did take the more straightforward approach, even though it had a couple of twists and turns, you could probably define it as. Not, you know, M. Night Shyamalan twists and turns.
Well, but, except maybe the big one at the end.
That it was a pretty big one. but what it does is, whether you believe in this or you don't, it does... As someone that lives in this world that does have religion, it does make you kind of question things a little bit. It's like, well, because let's say someone like yourself, what do you do with that kind of ending? Even as someone that might not care about religion, it's like, do you let that outcome happen or do you go a different way? You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm not talking about from a religious aspect. I'm just talking about from like the human element.
Well, you know? the whole film starts with the death of the Pope, and it's about all of the political infighting and secrets and backstabbing that takes place behind the scenes,
right?
During the lead up to voting for the new Pope. And it's got the trailers had a very espionage-y feel to them, like it was going to be like a modern version of
Taylor Tinker Soldier Spy,
something like that, yeah. but with cardinal robes, yeah. It's really just more like political infighting, almost like business rivals.
Yeah, I went in blind with this movie too. I really had no idea. I had no idea it was about the Pope dying and them finding a new one. I really didn't. I had zero idea what was going on. I just knew it had to do with the Catholic Church. That's it.
So, for me, part of it, like the big reveal of the movie is that, oh, look, men are petty. Like, yeah, I didn't need this film to tell me that. And honestly, the twist at the end is like, oh, hermaphrodite pope? Okay. I mean, what's he going to do about it? Nothing, apparently. I know he's not going to, show anybody, so who gives a shit? It's really, you know, this affects nobody except the person that knows, which is you. Go play with your turtle.
Two people know, but... it was brought to his attention by somebody else.
Yeah.
But right. Here's the thing. I understand with the hard decision of this person is now elected Pope, and the one person that brought it to Ray Fiennes' attention, which is Cardinal Lawrence, he found out pretty easily. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's probably not going to be hard to find out. It's probably going to come to light, and it's probably potentially going to make things worse. So he sits with his decision to allow it, you know, fade to black, credits roll. But the thing is, it makes you question, if you were in the same position, do you accept the resignation? And then, because his resignation would have had Ray Fiennes' character, Cardinal Lawrence, be the Pope, because he was second in voting. So, you know, it could have been seen as like a selfish act, or does, you know, it could have been seen like it doesn't matter. Like you said, it's not like he's going to go flashing, you know, the square in yeah. front of, you know, in Rome. It's like, does it really matter? The values in the end for the Catholic Church is what they care about. But that's what they want.
Yeah, and I realize the apathy towards that aspect of the film is all me. I'm not blaming the film for it.
Right.
I do feel, though, that I don't really see this as a Best Picture film because it really just feels like a very expensive made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, and I want to mention the score again. Without the score, it would feel like it is a TV movie without this Oscar-nominated score.
I mean, you have a lot of actors we all like in their older years right. giving great performances, but it's not a great film. It's an okay film. It entertained me. I didn't hate it.
I liked it.
But
I mean,
I
liked it. Yeah. I didn't love it. But the score is, and I know I keep talking about it. It's just that good. I'm telling you, man, I mean, it helps this movie. I'm telling you, it does. Yeah. Without a score this good, this movie I can't praise the score enough. We'll just put it that way. You know what was funny? There was that one shot, right? There was the one shot where Ray finds Cardinal Lawrence. He's the one that handles the Pope with, you know, his belongings and, you know, putting him, you know, in like the ambulance so that he can be taken, you know, away and all that stuff. And he just, you know, the camera pans over to the Pope. He looks like he's sleeping. He's passed on. But then there's that scene later where he looks over and the Pope is just looking at him. But it's not done in like a scary or horrifying way. You know what I mean? But it's what's interesting is horror movies do the exact same thing, except that they put scary music. Like if they wanted to make that like a, oh, fuck. All they had to do was put scary music to the pan over, the quick pan over shot with like the whirr kind of music. And it takes a scene that's almost, it's almost loving where he looks over and he sees the Pope looking back at him, you know, as if you're making the right decision. You're doing the right thing. This is why I put you in charge of the conclave. This is why you're the dean. But they could have went a different way with the music for that scene and made it feel a completely different way is what I'm getting at. And they did it.
They could have made the film a comedy and called it The Pope's Got Ovaries.
The Pope Must Diet 2. Electric Boogaloo. I don't know.
I mean, for an Oscar nominated, it's underwhelming for an Oscar nominated film. That's what I want to say.
It is. But I see why it was nominated. It is, I think in a lot of ways, I think it's a gripping film. I think it has enough of those elements and it kept me interested the entire time. And for a film of this subject matter, if it can keep me interested about the Catholic Church, I'm going to hats off to you.
I wasn't that interested, but that's, again, that's me. But I say as far as the film quality and the performances and all that, I'm okay with it up for some of the lesser awards. I just don't think it's a Best Picture nominee. That's all I'm getting at.
Well, I don't think it wins.
Oh, no.
You know, get closer to the final films, I mean, what's left? It's
Before you do that, rating the 7, right?
What's it currently at?
7 point something.
7-4. Oh, it's the same exact score as Nickel Boys, 7-4. Yeah, I'm good with a 7.
Okay, please continue.
So the only movies left now are I'm Still Here, A Complete Unknown, and The Brutalist. So I have no idea what we're reviewing next week.
Neither do we.
If we're reviewing anything at all, because those three films are still not available digitally.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to go to the movies. Might have to.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Figure it out. But those are the last three.
But no matter what happens, next week's going to be a surprise.
Yes, it is. So, all right, so that's Conclave. Really not much more to say about it.
No, I think that's it. I mean, it's a passable film. I'm really the whole infighting about who's going to be the next pope. I wasn't really invested in any character, and the pope's got ovaries.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting ending. All right. Thank you again. Movie Sucktastic, episode 437. Go to our website, download the show there, listen to the show there, click on the YouTube link, and go watch this episode. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic, and you can see everything that we're posting there. You can go to iTunes, you can listen to the show right there. You can do that from any of your devices, or your PC, Mac, whatever you got. You can also leave us email at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. If you want to download our podcast player, which kind of works, it works 100% for listening to MP3s, but you can download it from our website at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or just download your favorite podcast player and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Every single episode is there. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Undabascapam patio.
Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Mambo. I shouldn't do that.
Hey.
Oh. Hey.
How you eating, Joey?
Hey. Oh, you see this calamari over here? I'm eating pretty good. Oh, man. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, we hope.
Yeah. No, we'll be here.
Hopefully.
Later.
You know, hopefully we got something to review. All right, everybody. We'll hope. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.